Is it the building? Some people say it's the building. Some people call the I don't know the name of the sports arena in Melbourne, but some people call that a temple. Some people call the casino a temple. Some people call even worse than that. There is things they call a temple. What makes a thing in let's talk in terms of say value. What makes it a temple? The deities. Is that not wrong, but is it completely correct? Pardon? What was that? Somebody asked him, a young boy answered there. What did he say? That's what makes it a temple. What makes it a temple? Yes. Yes. The consciousness of the devotees. There are externals and internals. The externals are easy definable. And most people define things with externals. Generally speaking, we tend to think a temple is shaped like this, and it has a dome, and it has a door in a certain place, and the floor is made of this material, and the walls, and the pictures, and then there's the deities. That's a temple. That's probably what most people would describe more or less, isn't it, as a temple. Now we've added a little extra dimension here, which is not necessarily known to the fast, to the masses, let's say, that it's really the consciousness of the we call devotees, of the devotees, call them congregation, call them worshippers, call them whatever we may, but those persons who are there, that's what really changes it into a temple. Even the deities alone, they will not reveal themselves unless the reciprocation of consciousness is there. They will remain, let's say, unmanifest. Although they may appear to our material senses to be there, they will unmanifest the reality of their existence or their real presence. And it will be just another aspect. The temple is just another aspect of our social, economic, family, political, call it what you may, lifestyle. A place where we can improve on all of these material purposes of life. Where we can pray to the statues and get some benedictions so that we can enjoy ourselves more in this material world. This is unfortunately the consciousness of only too many persons who come to churches, temples, and I don't know about mosques, probably. But certainly in the temple and the church, this is only too often the mentality of most people. They want the gods to give them something material. So it's not really a temple in one sense it is. In another sense it's not. The real purpose of the temple is a place where we can come and actually change our consciousness away from desiring material things to desiring spiritual thing, we say things, but to desiring spiritual, to develop spiritual desires. This is the purpose of the temple. It is not a place to come and socialize or to enjoy one's senses in an external way or just to show off or get a nice boyfriend or girlfriend or, you know, be in the right place so that the boss sees you there and gives you promotion or whatever it may be. You know, a place we come and pray to the state, the whatever, the idols or the statues or the gods, call it what we may, that I may pass my exam and become even more entrenched in Maya. That is not the purpose of the temple. The temple is to get freed of all of these so-called important things and to realize that we don't really have any business in this world save and except to get out of it. This is the purpose of the temple. So the atmosphere in the temple is meant to provide an atmosphere, an environment where people can come and actually, maybe it takes time, obviously it takes time, but to gradually realize we do not belong in this world. And so the temple should be like an embassy. We've heard this word, like an embassy of the spiritual world. When you enter into the embassy, you are no longer in Australia. Is that how it works? When you enter into the Iraqi, and have an Iraq embassy in Canberra? Do they have an embassy in Iraq? They do. So when you enter into, I'm sure you're all going to Iraq for the Rathiatra festival this year. I don't know if you saw that proposal on the Dandavats. One devotee was very serious. He lives in Iraq. He's a soldier in the American army, as far as I know. And he is saying he wants devotees to support him. He's planning to put on the first Rath, probably the last or so, first and last Rathiatra in Baghdad. I don't know if he'll be writing on Dandavats anymore if he would endeavor to do that. Nothing is impossible, but if you want to do something very, very daring and bold, and then maybe to do a Rathiatra in the center of Baghdad would be quite a challenge. So we're not sure whether that's going to go ahead, but he was quite boldly presenting his proposition, and I never saw any response to it. Maybe they all maybe everybody responded behind the public scene, so to speak. Anyway, it's very, very, not a very easy place to preach Krishna consciousness. But when you go in the Iraqi embassy, I presume, heaven forbid, but I presume you're kind of in Iraq in one form or another. And the embassy is like a little enclave of that particular place. So the temple is supposed to be an enclave of the spiritual world. Now we can make our own home an enclave as well. You don't necessarily, it's not like limited. Everywhere can be, everywhere can become the spiritual world. And then there will be enclaves of the material world here and there. There will be a few places left where people are not Krishna conscious. That's the plan. That's the plan. That there will be, you know, one or two places where they're, like Parikshit Maharaj, he allowed those non-Krishna conscious things to be located in certain places, but not in the public eye, not in public places, secluded. So at the moment, of course, it's a little bit the other way around. But at least we should try to make our home a temple, make our heart a temple by being conscious of Krishna. The temple is where everything is geared towards Krishna's pleasure. It's what makes, this is the spiritual world. So the temple is an enclave or an embassy of the spiritual world where everything should be, our consciousness should be, how would Krishna like it? Would Krishna, hey, is that Lord Nrisimhadev? Well, isn't he nice? Hold him up, let's see him. Here he is, Nrisimhadev Bhagavan Ki Jai. High in the sky, come on, put him up in the air so we can all see. Hold him up, there you go. Turn him round so everyone can see him, isn't he beautiful? Jai Nrisimhadev Bhagavan Ki Jai. Very mercifully protecting us all. So this should be our consciousness, our awareness. Everything we do in our lives should be like that, and we'll live in a spiritual world. Even when we're going to the toilet, how would Krishna like me to do it? There's a way of doing it which is more pleasing to Krishna. We have to do it. We're in a conditioned way, so to speak. Or when we're doing our work, how would Krishna like me to do it? This is how you can be Krishna conscious at work. At home, how would Krishna like me to watch the television? Oh, maybe he wouldn't. Okay, I'll think about that. I'll think about that for a while, and you know, some things we may think, we may start changing our opinion about certain things. And there it goes again. We've got very old-fashioned telephones here in Melbourne. They don't have mobiles anymore. Resorted to this. That's the sound of those things that go meop, 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 and the other end it goes just like that. You remember those, Bhakti? They were good. I think we should bring them back. Get rid of all these computerized things or whatever you have. Bring back the old system. What do you reckon? You agree? Not sure. Some of you don't even know what the system is. What we're going back with. Probably we'll be lucky to have telephones in a few years' time. I remember, you know, some of you when your grandparents, I remember the day when we had these things called telephones. You could press a button and somehow or another you could talk to somebody on the other side of the world. No, I don't believe it. No, we don't believe you. How is that possible? It's true. No, it's not. You never know. One way that it may go this way or that way. It's up to Krishna. But this is the purpose of our lives, to think, what would Krishna like? How would he like it, isn't it? Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing? Would Krishna like... This is our test. This is our check and balance system. This is why we have Shastra, why we have Guru, Sadhu. And originally, of course, there was a culture which protected people, gave them help in this regards. Nowadays, they don't give us much help in this regards to remember Krishna. Well, they do indirectly. They don't consciously do. But this is our purpose, the purpose of our movement, so we can actually become Krishna conscious. Not just live a comfortable life, get a nice position, do things, learn things. All these things can be helpful. But without that awakening, they are called Shrama Evi Kevalam. Dharma Svanishita Pungsam Vishvaksena Katasya. Lord Padiyari Diyudin Shrama Evi Kevalam. They're a waste of time unless they actually bring pleasure to Krishna. Pumbhya Dvija Shrestha Vanashrama Vibhagasha Svanushitasya Dharmasya Sansidhir Haritoshanam. The purpose of everything we do is Sansidhir Haritoshanam. Is to please Krishna, not to please. Even looking after babies, we have to see how I can do this because they belong to Krishna. My wife belongs to Krishna. Don't forget. Your husband belongs to Krishna. Don't forget. Everything belongs to Krishna. Your earrings belong to Krishna. Your glasses belong to Krishna. Now he doesn't need glasses. He hasn't got a problem with his eyes. He can see well without eyes. You don't see the deities wearing glasses. They can see very well without eyes. But still, this is Krishna's energy. So we should use it for Krishna's pleasure. This is what this movement is for. To remember Krishna. And remembering Krishna means to know what would Krishna want of us. Now, we don't know our eternal relationship with Krishna. But we know one thing, that we're all coming from him. And we're all meant to serve him. Now how we serve him now, and how we serve him when we come to the liberated platform, the details may be different, but the principle of service is always there. Service means that you don't... It's not that you go up to someone and say, I want to do this for you. Now that's okay. That's good. To begin. But you say, what can I do for you, isn't it? You don't go to your spiritual master and say, Gurudev, please tell me what to do. Okay. Can you go to Iraq and organize a Rath Yatra festival? Gurudev, can you give me something else to do? All right, can you go to China and do Harinam Sankirtan in Beijing 24 hours a day? Gurudev, can you give me something? Fair enough, we can accept that. You might be a little bit hesitant there. You might start thinking Gurudev is a bit out of touch with the world around us or something. You may say, Gurudev, all right, can you wash the floor? No, Gurudev, can you give me something else to do? All right, can you read Bhagavatam 3 hours? No, Gurudev, can you give me something else to do? Can you chant Miss Purushottam Mass? Can you chant 25 rounds a day? No, I can't do. Can you give me something else to do? You go on and on like this, and eventually, until he comes to what you want him to ask you to do, you don't accept anything else. Actually, and then he'll say, well, what do you want to do? Well, I want to do this or that. So it's not okay. It's something better than nothing. But that's not really service. That's very conditional service anyway. The pure devotee is, whatever you want me to do, I will do whatever you like. Because that's what love means. Love is not an object which I enjoy, and I call that love. Love means that you give yourself to the person or the object. You surrender yourself to that person. This is the meaning of Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita ends where love begins, you can say, in one sense. Love is there always, but it really begins. That's surrender to Krishna. Give up all other objects of love and give all your love to me. And then Bhagavatam takes that mood up of what is that love for Krishna. And that's our ultimate goal, Krishna Paramartha Maham, to love Krishna. This is our goal. So that's a love. Love means that. It means to always be conscious, even in family life. You know that. I mean, both ways probably you know that. But especially in dealing with children, you know what it means. Especially the ladies, they know what it means when they have children. That you have to give yourself. You suddenly have sacrificed so much for the children. It has its limits, but still, it's in that, you can say it's along those lines. That you practically, sometimes you see mothers, they'll give up their own life to protect their own child, when there is actual love there. you sacrifice yourself. It's happened again. This is a brand new pair of glasses. I don't even know where the lens has gone. The lens has fallen out. I can't see a thing. This is 6 times within 2 weeks. I gave up the previous pair because they kept falling apart. Now this pair's a new pair. 6 times in 2 weeks they've fallen apart in the same place. And the lens has gone somewhere and I don't even know where it is. Over there? Someone will have to find it. I do have the little screwdriver for all it's worth. It lasts about 2 days before it falls apart again to put them back together. But anyway, something's got to be done. I hope the screw hasn't fallen out. I've got a missing screw in my brain, so I don't want a missing screw in my glasses. Someone can, I don't know what we can do. Is this some here? Squint. Any more comments? Anyway, there's too much to do. Yeah. I can't read the book. I should have read the verse first, shouldn't I? Can't read a thing now. Can you put it together somehow or another? Or maybe I can. Oh yeah, I can sort of read. I can sort of read. Oh, if I close that eye I can read just about. Just about. Okay, excuse the unusual pose. You can take a few photographs here. Where's everybody? Pie in the eye. I had a pie in the eye. He was the one guru, wasn't he? He had a pie in the eye. Okay. Well, just read the verse a minute. This is called a conditioned soul. You're definitely conditioned. With spiritual vision, you don't need all this paraphernalia. I think the Deus got angry with me when I mentioned they should get a pair of glasses just now or something. I didn't say that. Okay, we'll read the verse. Enough said. I think you got the point. That what is devotional service really essentially at our stage? This is the turning point between our so-called interpretation of devotional service, doing things, to actually being real. Conditional to real. When we more and more we make, this is surrender, this is austerity, it's sacrifice, which must be performed for the pleasure of Krishna, not for our own means or purposes, both gross or subtle. This is pure devotional service, anukulyena Krishna nushilanam. It is anukulyena. Anukulyena means for the pleasure of Krishna. And shilana means cultivation, that activity which leads us to this point of being pleasing. Ultimately, the ultimate feature is not things which please Krishna, is being pleasing to Krishna. That our very existence is pleasing to Krishna, which means that our heart, our consciousness, our very soul, if you want to call it that, our very self is pleasing to Krishna. It's attractive to Krishna. He's attracted. So with the practice, shilanam, our various activities which we do and which we try to dovetail for the pleasure of Krishna, according to the condition that we're in, the nature that we have, we learn how to use those in Krishna service, and in the proper association, in the association of pure devotees, then Grajishusha Shosha Vidansya Vasudeva Katarachi Sian Mahatseva Vipra Punya Tirthanishevna. And gradually that service, because of association or serving under the direction of pure devotees, our service also becomes purified. We develop the characteristics of the pure devotee whom we serve. And the characteristics of a pure devotee is Shinvatam Srikataya Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtana Vidantya Kstoya Vadvani Vidunoti Saritstam. We develop this characteristic. Our characteristic is already there. There's no anatta or unwanted desires in our heart. But by associating with persons who have purified hearts, then our taste, our attraction to hear about Krishna gradually develops. So just like we're reading this part of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the marriage of Krishna and Rukmini. So this is a very wonderful pastime, and we should churn it over again and again and again in our hearts so that we remember these pastimes. This is the pure Krishna. We develop a taste for hearing and chanting. The taste will come by the mercy of Krishna and the mercy of the pure devotee. By rendering them service according to their direction, then our hearts become cleansed and the taste for hearing and chanting about Krishna develops. Naturally develops. So part of that service is to hear the Bhagavatam. Even if we haven't got a taste, still we can hear it. And by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, we will, from the right source, we'll become purified. So today we're reading text number, what is the number?
15.
Text number 15, okay. Text number 15, there we go. Udilo. That's not the word. Jeep Jago. Is that what it says? Jeep Jago, Gora Chandra Bole. I've got it. Yes, confirmed. What happened to the lens? Who's got the lens? Who got it? Do you want to see if you can kind of partially put it back in without losing the screws? Like, the screws are about to fall out. I can feel it rolling around there. It may have already fallen. I can hold it if you put the glasses back into a kind of, keep the screws separate or something, because any moment it's going to fall out. And then I can hold the lens in there. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 You have the screw? You've got the screw. Yes. Okay, where should we put that screw for safekeeping? You're going to hold it carefully?
Yeah.
Okay. Text number 15. Adunapi.
Adunapi.
Vayam.
Sarve.
Vira.
Utapa.
Utapaha.
Parajitaha.
Dalgu. Tantrayer. Yadubihi.
Krishna,
Palitahi,
Adunapi
Vayam Sarve, Vira Yuttapa Yuttapaha, Parajita Falgu Tantrayer,
Yadubi
Krishna Palitahi. Now. Api, even, Vayam, we, Sarve, all, Vira, of heroes. Anyone got the name Vira here? Any of the men named Vira? Quite a common name in some parts of the subcontinent of India. Krishna's also got the name Vira. There are many Vira comes in. We have quite a few Viras in Malaysia. Maybe it's a South Indian, common South Indian name, I think. Veer this and that. Yuttapa. Any Utas here? Any Uta? Who's a Uta? Veer means hero. What does Uta mean? Uta. Radharani has various groups, and they have their, what do they call them? Yutishwari, I think they call them, the leaders of the group. They're group leaders. So it refers to all the leaders, Yuttapa, all the leaders. All the leaders.
All the leaders.
Someone wrote me a letter yesterday, said, reader means leader. If you want to lead, Prabhupada said, then you have to read. Different ways of hearing nowadays. And another time Prabhupada said, you, without hearing and chanting about Krishna, he said, you may become a material leader, but you cannot become a spiritual leader. You have to hear regularly and chant about Krishna regularly if you want to be a spiritual leader. Probably one of the biggest things we can think about in our future growth and how the management of, say, not management, and say the development of our ISKCON society develops along this principle. If we really want to be a leader of others, then we have to be following or hearing the transcendental subject matter of Krishna Katana.
Yuttapaha.
The leaders.
Leaders.
Parajitaha.
Parajitaha.
Is anyone a parajitaha? Yes. What is a who's a parajitaha? You a parajit?
No, defeated.
Yes. Oh, you've got the book.
You've
got the book. There we go. This is one way of approaching this subject matter. It's a good idea to have the book. But sometimes you'll think, oh, that's a flower, isn't it? Parijata flower. Yes, I'm a Parijata flower. No. It's a little different. Parajita. Not parijata. Parajitaha. One who is, what is, ajit. What is ajit?
Unconquered.
We have, our ajit is unconquerable up at New Govardhan, right? No one can conquer him up there. And the same, similar thing, a bit the opposite here. Parajitaha. Parajitaha is one who is defeated. 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 That doesn't mean you lose your feet. Defeated. That may also be there. Falgu. Anyone Falgu? Huh? Anyone a Falgu? Pardon? Why was he Falgu? What was Falgu about Arjuna? Huh? Huh?
Is he born in the springtime?
Born in the spring. I don't know how that's related to Falgu. Falgu. Porgu. Pohorgu. Depends which part of India you're from. Porgu. Porgu. Phalgu. Pardon? Name of who?
Seasons.
Little different. Little different. This is Falgu. This word comes up. Huh? Huh? Yes.
Anyone who doesn't know Krishna is Falgu.
Could be said like that, or it may not be like that. Yeah, Arjuna is also described as Falgu because his intelligence was meager. It means meager, very small or meager. That's the meaning here. It may have many other meanings. Meager. Tantrai. Whose entourage? Yadu bihi. By the Yadus. Krishna. Palitaihi. Who's Krishna? What is Krishna? Krishnapal. What would that be?
Friend of Krishna.
Friend? The pal. Krishna's pal. Good guess. We have Lokapal. Who are the Lokapals?
Who protects
what?
People.
The directions, or protects the planet, place, the people, whatever, but protectors. They're the protectors. So Pal specifically refers to the protector. This is protected by Krishna. Please repeat. Protected by Krishna.
Protected by Krishna.
Translation, and there's no purport. And we're continuing here. Jarasandha Uvacha. Shri Jarasandha Uvacha.
Shri Jarasandha Uvacha.
And now all of us, great commanders of military leaders, have been defeated by the Yadus and their small entourage, who are protected by this Krishna. Next verse. So we can understand from that verse, I mean that's a very lesson in itself, that if one is protected by Krishna, one cannot be defeated. Simple. I don't know whether, there's no purpose. I guess it speaks for itself. But even if you are powerful, materially, if you're not protected by Krishna, you'll be defeated. Just like in the battle of Kurukshetra, Duryodhana and company. They had all of Krishna's armies, but they were defeated because Arjuna was protected by Krishna. He could have been one soldier, but if he's protected by Krishna, he can defeat the whole universe. Mare Krishna Rakiki, Rakik Krishna Mariki. Krishna wants to protect someone. No one. No one can kill them. And if Krishna wants to kill somebody, no one can protect them. Not all the armies of the universe gathered, even Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma and all the devas, even if they all got together with all the powerful rakshasas and demigods in the universe, still Krishna could defeat them with a blink of his eye. Or one who is under his protection can defeat them. So this is the essence of it. Yesterday the question came up about sometimes we get distracted by the objects of the senses. Sometimes our mind is defeated by the objects of the senses, or our intelligence rather, is defeated by the objects of the senses, and we fall down mentally or physically. It is impalpable. Maya. Nobody in this world, said in the universe other than Narayana Rishi, can be protected from the temptation of sex in the broader sense of the word, but the attraction for sex life. Nobody. So we have to take shelter of that person. No one else can protect us. Ultimately, we have to take shelter of Krishna in his various forms. And we will be protected from the influence of Maya. There is no other shelter other than taking shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. Other things may give us temporary relief, but the problem is still there. The tendency is still there. But in the association of Krishna, not only are we protected, but the tendency will change. We will no longer have pure stage. Inclination to be attracted. It's like Haridas Thakur, tempted by Mayadevi in the middle of the night. Can we imagine? If Mayadevi would come with her full force, we would be finished in a moment. Flat in a moment. Finished. Whoever powerful, even great powerful sages have been finished by this. What to speak of us? Struggling to chant 16 rounds a day and get up before breakfast and things like that. Once a year we read the Bhagavatam, you know. What do we have? Oh Prabhu, what can I do with my mind? And when I chant japa, I just think of this, that, and that. Imagine if Maya were to open the doors. Okay, here I am. Full force, boys. What would we do? Huh? Probably look around first and see who's looking. And then run for it. Dive into her embrace. Male or female? Pardon? No, you have to have a special screwdriver to fix this. Where's your screwdriver?
It's outside.
Huh?
Outside.
Bring it inside.
It's a knife.
No. Maybe we can try, but there's a very... I got this teeny, weeny little screwdriver. It's just so small you can hardly see it. You can try it with a knife, but bring your knife in. It's okay. It's for the service of Krishna. We trust you. Is there... he's not a terrorist, is he? Do you have a metal detector at the door or anything? I'm surprised they still let us take glasses on these airplanes nowadays. This is a hijack! Stick their glasses in someone's eyes, you know. Oh, ah! Take out your false teeth. No false teeth allowed on the plane. Now I've got like vampire teeth. Take them out as well. There'll be nothing left. What about the bones? Take them out as well. You can hit someone with your bones. A water bottle. I might bash them over the head with a bottle of water. Dangerous word. See what it can do. You've got the screw, right? Anyway, I haven't finished the verses. Give me a few more minutes. something brightly shining. I can still see just about. This is what it's like when you get old. Everything. Even if you've got glasses, it's like, you know, you're going like this all the time. Where were we? Oh, we were defeated. So we're all... We're all defeated very easily in this world, only by the mercy of Krishna that we're protected at all. Even though we don't know it, he's still protecting us all. Even in ordinary dealings, he's protecting us. We don't really recognize it. A devotee is always feeling, even in the Sharanagati, one of the symptoms of surrender, he always feels he's under the protection of Krishna. He's protecting us from being dragged away or carried away by Maya. That's the real protection. Not that he's protecting us. Whoa, what happened? I broke my finger. Why didn't Krishna protect me? I prayed to him, he never protected me, I broke my finger. I died, I got old. What is this God? I'm praying to him. No, that's not the kind of protection. He's protecting us from the identification with this body or becoming attracted to the objects of the senses. So we have to call to him for this mercy. His mercy. We're calling out to him for his mercy. That we don't become victimized by the material senses. And sense objects from Maya. I'll just read on a little bit, otherwise we're not going to get any further. Ripavaja giraduna kala atmanu sharini tadavayam vijeshyamo yadakalak padakshinah. I'll read a few verses and go back to the English afterwards. Shishukuvacha evam prabodito mitrais chayogat sanugakpuram hatashesha punastepi yayu swang swang parang tipaha rukmi tu rakshashodvaham krishna dvid asaham svasuhu prishtatom vagamat krishnam akshohinya vitobali. The next verse has a one line purport and we'll finish it that one. Rukyamashi susang riddha svinvatam sarva bubujang patijagne mahabahur dangshita sa sarashanah ahatva samare krishnam apratyuhu charukminem kundinam na pravikshami satyametad bravimi vaha. I'll read the translations. Now our enemies have conquered, because the time factor favors them. But in the future, when time is auspicious for us, we shall conquer them. We discussed this yesterday, how time adjusts everything accordingly. It's the feature of the Supersoul. Arranging everything accordingly. Different times are favorable for certain things. What's that? Oh, it fell out again. Okay, I'm going to hand over. No, I'm not going to hand over. I'll just finish off the translations. Then I'll hand over to you. Different times are more favorable for certain things than others. I don't need to hold that anymore. And other times are not favorable. Even in the ordinary dealings, everyone who does astrology and astronomy knows these. The science of when to do these things, when to fix your glasses. Anyone here an astrologer? There will be a certain time of the day which is meant to be done to fix glasses. You really get down to it. Certain time of the day to comb your hair, ladies. Certain time of the day to cut your nails. They go down to all these fine details, and some people actually live their lives like this. No, it's not the right time of the day to blink. It's not the right time of the day to open the curtains. It's not the right time of the day to go on. They go down to every fine detail. But it's not meant to be like that. But nonetheless, everything is actually organized, orchestrated by, sometimes we call by material nature, under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or in other words, we can say providence, the time feature, causing everything to be adjusted and move around in various ways accordingly. Everything in the universe moves according to the order of time. Even the great demigods are under the control of time. Time and tide. Wait for no man. No one can control time. Oh, time is Krishna. It's a form of Krishna. It's under Krishna's direction. So they understand this point. It's true that certain times are more favorable for different practices, for different mentalities, for different people. And we see that in our own lives sometimes. Certain times of your life, things just go right. And certain times of your life, things just go left. Or go wrong. This is how it works, you know. Krishna says we have to transcend, not we transcend time in one sense, but we have to transcend the duality or the effects of time. Rise above it and take shadow of Krishna, who is actually the source of time. And then we're not affected by the changes which take place in course of time. Even to the point of death, we will not be affected. But as long as we're trying to adjust things, it's the same type of thing again. Trying to adjust astrology is always trying to adjust things in a favorable way. But even astrologers die, and even people who follow astrology die, and life goes on in this material world. And sometimes they die when they didn't expect to die also, even though they're so-called astrologers. There are other factors working in this world also. So Rukmi understood these, Jarasandha understood these things. And he knew that there will be certain times, generally, like there's certain seasons. For instance, if one wants to go sunbathing, there is a better season, like right now, for instance, is a good time for sunbathing. Summer right now, isn't it, in Melbourne? Summer? June is summer? Midsummer? Is Midsummer's Day coming up shortly? June the 21st is Midsummer's Day, isn't it? They told me that when I was young, that Midsummer's Day was June the 21st. It's different. Is it different in Australia? That's why you all got sent down here, now I know. You didn't accept that Midsummer's Day was June the 21st, or whatever it is. Is that what happened? and then banished to Australia. You mean to say it's a different day down here? This is not summer? Huh? It feels like it. Isn't it? It's like summer now, isn't it? I mean, today, clear sky and it's warm. Normally in the night, in the morning, in the winter, if you get a clear sky, it's freezing, right? But this morning, you're walking around in t-shirts. What's going on? This is almost the middle of the winter. I mean, as far as the calendar goes, another month to go. But we're walking around in t-shirts. It's upside down. In London, in England, the same thing sometimes. In the middle of winter, it's like a warm day. You'll be sunbathing soon in June. You're going to go down to the beach. You'll go to England for your summer holidays in December. In England, summer holidays. Things are upside down, topsy-turvy in this day and age. But usually there are different seasons, even in India. March is now the rainy season in some parts of North India. The last 2 years running, more rain fell in March than it did during the rainy season in Vrindavan. We had floods in Vrindavan both years running in March. Never rains in March. 2 years running, it had been pouring storms, wind and rain and thunder in March. It's ruining all the agriculture. I mean, it's topsy-turvy. But normally there's good seasons for things, which are more favorable for certain plants, for certain things. Similarly with people, there are good seasons which are better for certain people according to their condition. So those who are demoniac, there are certain seasons, times, places, which are more favorable for them. Their power rises at those times, like at night usually. Their power rises. Like the different, so everything, that's from the material point of view. For a devotee, every time is good because he takes shelter of Krishna. He doesn't take shelter of Krishna's feature of time exactly, or of the material arrangements. He takes shelter of Krishna, who's behind it all, and every situation can become auspicious. Even what appears to be unfavorable for a devotee can be favorable if he takes shelter of Krishna. I'll just read three more verses, and then we'll hand the glasses over, and we can carry on. Powerful Rukmi! No, we didn't quite reach that. Next verse. Shukadeva Goswami then says, so that's the end of Jarasandha's spiel, and now we go on to Shukadeva Goswami speaks. Thus persuaded by his friends, Shishupal took his followers and went back to his capital. The surviving warriors also returned to their respective cities. As you may remember, Krishna has stolen away Rukmini, the soldiers chased after him, they were defeated easily by Balaram and his small entourage, they went back completely humiliated, Shishupal didn't even go to make an effort, practically speaking, and he was totally depressed, morose. You can imagine how he felt. He's just lost his prize, the goal of his life, and he just lost it, just at the last snare. It's like, you've been winning a race all the way to the last meter and you fell over. And, like a horse race, it happens sometimes, doesn't it? The horse falls at the last leg. And, imagine how all the supporters feel. They put all their money on that horse and the blooming thing fell down at the last leg and you lost everything. And you see them ripping their bits of paper apart, throwing their hats on the ground, smashing their fists, getting drunk and really angry. And they lost everything. They were crazy. So you can imagine how he felt. The poor fellow. This thief came along, this rascal came along, out of a bit, unqualified person, tricked everybody and stole her away in front of everybody, because everyone else was so humble and so respectful, they didn't do anything initially. He stole her away. You can imagine how he felt. Poor Shishupal. I think we can all sympathize with him, isn't it? And what are we going to do about it? This is terrible circumstances here. And he's so humble, he just went back to his capital. You see? He went back to his capital. He didn't even himself go and try to challenge Krishna. He was so respectful to Krishna. Others on his behalf, it's like, when someone offends somebody, you don't defend yourself, right? Others have to do that. So because, Krishna offended, he didn't defend himself, but others did on his behalf to try to bring about righteousness. But because of the time factor, they were defeated. Otherwise, they would have been successful in normal circumstances. The time feature was on Krishna's side. You have to understand my play on words. Don't take it literally. Powerful Rukmi, his Rukmi is the brother of Rukmini, who orchestrated this whole incident, practically you can say, by his insistence. He was especially envious of Krishna. Very envious of Krishna. He could not bear the fact that Krishna had carried off his sister to marry her in the Rakshasa style. You see, Krishna's a Rakshasa. Rakshasa style, you just steal her away in the midst of everyone else. Forcibly. Kidnapped. In modern day society, we'd be arrested. Kidnap Rukmini. Thus, Rukmini pursued the Lord with an entire military division. He went after him. Frustrated and enraged, mighty armed Rukmini, dressed in armor and wielding his bow, had sworn before all the kings, I shall not again enter Kundina. Kundina is the name of the town in Vaidarbha, the capital of King Bhishmaka, the father of Rukmini. And that we mentioned yesterday, some of you were here yesterday, as a very small, it appears very small nowadays, it's not manifest very much nowadays, because Rukmini did not go back there, so the place became almost a ghost town after some time, because he refused to go back to his capital. And now it's just a small place near Nagpur in Maharashtra. He said, I shall not again enter Kundina if I do not kill Krishna in battle and bring Rukmini back with me. I swear this to you. He made a powerful vow. Purport. Rukmini spoke these angry words and then set off to pursue Lord Krishna as described in the following verses. This is the result of being overly attached to the sense objects. We all know how it works. In the Bhagavad Gita, Jayatogasham, as it goes, so long we haven't quoted, Jayatogasham Pungsam Sankat Ishubhajayate. Something like that? Who remembers? Huh? Sankat Saichai. Anyway, whatever it is. By contemplating the objects of the senses, what happens? One develops attachment. From attachment comes lust. From lust comes, pardon? Anger. Why? You think you'd be, lust? Why anger comes from lust? When lust is frustrated. Which it ultimately always is. Ultimately. And from that lust comes anger. And when anger comes? Illusion. And when one becomes deluded or completely fogged over by absorption, then what happens? Everything becomes dark, you lose your intelligence. There's no more sun, everything becomes dark, and you don't know where you're going. You're completely perplexed, and you fall down to this material. This is the enemy, this lust. All these kings were lusting over Rukmini. Rukmini was also very lusty, and he became very angry. And Kama Esha, quoted Esha Rajaguna Samudbhava, Mahashama Mahapapma Vidyayam, Hiravarnam. This lust is the all-devouring sinful enemy of the world. And it's the underlying problem which we all suffer from. It manifests in so many ways. Showing off, pride, all these things in various forms are all springing from this lust. And lust is the, you can say in a sense, is the root. Of course, we can take it from another angle and say it's envy of Krishna. But that envy of Krishna really means instead of loving Krishna, we're lusty. We're lusting to enjoy separately from Krishna. Whatever it is, we may even be chanting a japa and be lusty. We're chanting japa with a lusty purpose. We want to show off. We want to attain something material out of it. Instead of serving the holy name, we want to use the holy name. We chant the holy name to feel good. We want to chant the holy names so others think we're a good devotee. We chant the holy names to get freed of reactions. We chant the holy name to get a good position. We chant the holy name to be happy. We chant the holy name to gain liberation or to go to heaven. We do have so many things are mixed in there. It's covered with lust. And these are all lusty desires. These are all in the category. You know, don't get too overwhelmed or depressed. You know, well, he's really going overboard here. You know. But actually, in technical definition, everything separate or short of the mark of pure love of God is tinged with love, with lust. Tinged with lust. So we're all affected by this lust. This is the all-devouring sinful enemy of the world. All-devouring. Even now, you know, we may be lusty about the type of glasses that we wear. I like this style, I like that style, you know. We're attached. There's some attachments here. We have to give up our attachment even to the type of glasses that we wear. Boy, I was supposed to give them to you, wasn't I? There we are. Just see how detached I am. I'm even surrendering my glasses. It's a very fine subject matter. The whole process of Krishna consciousness is to works for this purpose. When the glasses come back, I'll read a few purports. I haven't read them yet, so I'm also interested to read them by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Are you going off? Why? You don't love Krishna anymore? Come overwhelmed with lust? I hope not. You have to work, do you? You have to work. Anyone else has to work? I think all given up your desire to work now. No more need to work. Saturday today, is that right? Is it Saturday today?
Yes.
I wonder why there are so many faces and bodies out there. Couldn't be because of me. Saturday. So this lust is really a big challenge, Mr. Lust. Is there a big challenge? Take, we have to take. Only shelter, same thing. Take shelter of Krishna. Take shelter of the holy name. Just chant the holy names. Have you fixed it? Yes, to fix it. Thank you. You'll probably fall apart in half a minute or something, but months. That's good. You've done a good job. What did you fix it with? Oh, got a fine point knife. Okay, good. Intelligence. So this is the challenge. How are we going to actually conquer over lust? What's the secret of conquering lust? Pardon? If you don't conquer lust, you'll be conquered by anger. There is a place for anger in Krishna consciousness, but we have to be very careful. You push the door, push it. Yeah. Also escaped. Hey, where's the guard? Don't let anyone go. I need a guard at the door there, make sure no one can leave. No breakfast for those who leave. Don't worry, we're going to shut up in a minute. Question time has started. How can we conquer lust? Anyone want to conquer lust or not? You conquer lust or you bust? Okay. How do we conquer lust? You just must trust. What do you have to do? How can we conquer lust? Devotional service. Well, yeah, pure devotional service. When we call again, we're back to the same point again. Devotional service. We think it means mopping the floor, chanting, mumbling some mantras mechanically, and, you know, reading the Bhagavad Gita. And, you know, doing things. True, pure devotional service. How can we conquer lust? Further on that. I mean, you know, so many devotees, they've been doing this and that for 25, 35 years, and they're still wondering, how am I going to overcome this lust? Isn't it? Of course, you can say, just be patient. Maybe there's some other aspects to it as well. I mean, how long you can keep on preaching? There's no other word left after so many years. Just be patient, Prabhu. Just be patient. How long we have to remain as a patient, I don't know. It's like I've been in hospital for 30 years. Don't worry. Just be patient. But I'm 90 years old, you know. How long do I have to wait? Just be patient. Anything else? Yeah, that's a very nice point. Becoming a little bit more personal, maybe. not just amongst ourselves, but we think of personal amongst ourselves. Okay, it's related and it should be there. We don't really know what real personism amongst human beings particularly. What to speak of in relation with Krishna. Yes, but by developing more of a personal relationship, it really stems by realizing that Krishna is a person. Not necessarily in the sense that material person, but he's a person. We're not just looking at those, mechanically looking at the deities. Now that's a good start, is mechanical. Just repeating some mantras and doing some dance in front of the deities. This is very nice. But even more so, we start to realize it's back to the original point. Krishna, what do you want? You are my life and soul. What do you want? Please, you know my condition. You know my heart. You know my attachments and so on due to conditional life. And you know, I simply take shelter of you. Please be merciful to me. Please remove whatever is an impediment to bringing pleasure to you, and replace it with whatever brings pleasure to you. This type of a mood we should work towards. Of course, we shouldn't rush in, jump in necessarily, until we're a little bit aware of what we're actually talking about, because ultimately that is the mean surrender. But Krishna is very kind. Yashaham anivinami. He may take away those things which are impediments to our devotional service. This is his mercy. We have to ask. We have to have the desire. The real thing is we have to have the sincere desire. What else can the soul do? And we're here because of desire. The material world is here because of desire, and the material world is finished because of desire. But if we don't have the desire, we'll stay here. You know, if you just mechanically say, oh, this lust, what can I do? But we have to actually desire to become free of the control of lust. If we don't desire to become free, then why should Krishna reciprocate? The devotees are merciful, they may still try to help us. But in our own hearts, our job is to develop this desire that we want. And how is that done? It's not just the desire. The impersonalists also have that approach, free of desire, free of lust. What is the devotional approach? Not just to be free of lust, but to be... Pardon?
Full of aversion.
Full of?
Aversion.
Devotion. Full of affection towards Krishna. Full of thoughts towards Krishna. We have to occupy our time more in a way that we can remember Krishna more. That we can actually, instead of just fighting against love, that we're taking shelter of Krishna. That we're developing our consciousness of Krishna. This is spiritual strength. Spiritual strength comes from Balaram. Krishna's mercy comes through Balaram. Through the disciplic succession, through the spiritual master, Mahaprabhu Nityananda. This is how we get our strength, by taking shelter of them. And they will give us directions how to follow, what to do, which will help us to gradually, for the fire of the blazing fire of material existence to be extinguished. And they don't just put the negatives in, they give us positive. Positive has to be positive, a positive thing. We have to have another higher taste. This is what they'll give us. They give us the opportunity to experience this higher taste. And then we'll become freed of the lower taste. We'll no longer be interested. By praying constantly for the shelter of the Lord and his expansions, his energies, and at the same time absorbing ourselves in activities of devotional practices which will detach us automatically from activities which will cause us to become again implicated or entangled in the material world. Anything more on lust? There's lots more to be said. Mataji had your hand up first.
To take shelter of the pure devotees, because they set such a glorious example.
Yeah, this is in one and different than what we've already mentioned. It's the same but different. The very, very personal, we take shelter of those pure devotees, not only the present pure devotees, but pure devotees in the past and future. This is by meditating on their pastimes, or hearing their pastimes of great personalities, that we get their association. For instance, the four Kumaras, and at Kumaras, there especially, which is not our primary direction, but for those who want to conquer over sex desire, they pray to the four Kumaras, or Haridas Thakur. Like this, by hearing about them, by their mercy, they give us their mercy, and that is that we they give us shelter, they give us protection, they give us determination to practice devotional service, they give us courage, and they give us satisfaction. Bhaktivinoda Thakura describes these effects of hearing about pure devotees like Haridas Thakura, Rupa Goswami, and so on. Yes, by taking, and then those who are present, by taking shelter. We already mentioned what that means in the earlier part of the chit-chat, in terms of being submissive, or approaching a spiritual master with submission, and not with a preconceived idea of what I'm going to make my spiritual master ask me to do. And then I go and tell everybody, my Gurudev said I should do this. It's a common trick. You know, you twist your Guru Maharaj's arm or the authority's arm to agree to what you want them to ask you to do, and then you go and advertise to everybody that my authority told me to do this. My Guru Maharaj told me I should do this. It's not a very favourable mood of devotion. Very mixed with the mode of passion, even ignorance. So we have to come to the mode of goodness. Society in the mode of goodness is also there to try to minimise the external, as well as the subtle tendency or attractions. Vedic culture and a human culture, not Vedic, human culture is arranged to minimise, and not only minimise the unnecessary, just like in Melbourne, they're very nicely organised situations, so you don't get very much attracted by sex life. They only have billboards on every other street corner, isn't it? Advertising it. Enjoy, 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 enjoy. Even in Vrindavan now, when you drive in from Chattikar to Vrindavan, every billboard, enjoy, enjoy. You can't see the fields anymore. All you see is billboards. From the moment you reach the road to the moment you enter Vrindavan, just one on both sides, line of billboards blocking out the entire view of the countryside around. Enjoy, 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 enjoy. Govardhan Golf Course. Enjoy. This is actually advertising Govardhan Golf Course. Enjoy in paradise. You know, live in luxury, better than heaven. All these advertisements, live here, do this, eat this, go here, play this, play that, buy this, buy that. Even when you enter into what we call Vrindavan, you're bombarded with all these things as you enter in. Then when you get bombarded with something else once you're in Vrindavan. But it's the material world, we're just bombarded all around. And all the other nonsense things that go on from the time of the education system, which teaches us, become lusty. The goal of life is lust. Make money. Enjoy. Do this, buy that, watch this, eat that. Go here, go there, do this. The whole education is just training us to become as lusty as possible. Now, they don't know what lust means. They think lust means, you know, having some illicit sex or something. But it's not. It's developing this infatuation of seeing oneself as the enjoyer of the material world. This is lust. You know, this world is for me, or for us. It's ours. We can do what we damn well like with it. We'll get rid of God if he doesn't agree with us. We'll become an atheist. Mayavadi. This is lust. So Vedic society was otherwise. It was arranged the minimal. Minimal distraction. Now the other part of it is that people were rightly situated. And when you're rightly situated according to your conditional nature, you feel much more peaceful. The big topic, well, I'm going to leave it at that, but there are so many other things which we could describe. Environmental, particular application, association. Association is so important when it comes to dealing with these various characteristics which we are plagued with and overwhelmed with, even in our efforts to become Krishna conscious. Say, well, yeah, just take shelter of Krishna, but we're bombarded all around us and within by other things, even though we theoretically, intellectually know this. In practice, it's not so easy. There are a lot of support required to help us to practice devotional service, as it was mentioned. It's not just a mechanical thing, but there are still, nonetheless, a lot of support systems required in sadhu sangha. Very important. So I'm going to leave it at that before you get too angry with me and drive me out, because we've already overtimed. I know it's Saturday, so you get overtime on Saturday, isn't it? Extra pay on Saturday, isn't it? If you go overtime. If you work overtime on Saturday, you get extra wage. Okay, so I get extra wage for this morning, so I thought I'd better make the most of it whilst I can. It's the only Saturday I got. Oh, are there any questions? We'll leave the other purports till tomorrow if we're still around. Understanding
the action of time is being directed by the supersoul.
Oh, yeah, the will of the supersoul. Read more about it. The 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is very much directed towards the action of the supersoul and how we can understand his dealings or our relationship with the supersoul in this world. It's a very, very deep chapter. I suggest you read the 13th chapter and any related subject matters to the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita in regards to the supersoul and how we can understand his will. But primarily we understand the supersoul. Prabhupada said the spiritual master is the external manifestation of the supersoul. So through the spiritual master, one pure spiritual master who's in contact with the supersoul. See, our relationship with Krishna in this world is predominantly until one comes to the liberated stage is with the supersoul. In the liberated stage one may actually begin to understand one's constitutional relationship with Krishna or whatever form of Krishna one's attracted to. In this world, under the direction of the supersoul, we are learning to develop the mood of acting for Krishna's pleasure, to become his unalloyed servitor. So the unalloyed, by associating with that unalloyed servitor, then we understand the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because they understand that and they can impart that unto us. So this is the practical methodology. In the Bhagavad Gita 13th chapter especially deals with supersoul. Where else is there deeper understanding of how what is the will of the supersoul, how we can be guided by the supersoul? Where else? Deeper understanding, other than the general fact that that's what all of the teachings are in directly or indirectly related to, is revealing to us the will of the supersoul in this world. Is there anything else anyone else like to add to that? Maybe some other, if you think about it, we'll probably think of many other places where Srila Prabhupada or our acharyas have revealed this to us, but primarily it's through the spiritual masters association. We can have our own sometimes, there's a bit of inner realization when it correlates with the scripture and with the sadhus and so on, by the association of the sadhus. How else can we understand more the what did exactly you say? How we can understand the will of the supersoul? Where we can find it?
There's a purport that follows to Sri Prabhupada, it's very nice. As far as everything, his destiny is also described as Krishna.
Yeah.
So, Krishna is behind it.
Yeah, Krishna is behind it. And in this world, in the form of the Supersoul, he's behind everything. And he manifests that to us in the form of time. So how to? It's a very deep subject matter in the Srimad Bhagavatam. If you really want to get into the technicalities of it, of course, the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam deals with a lot of these aspects of the Lord's presence in the various ways of time, and the various elements, and so on. A little bit complicated, but the simple one, which is really what we're really searching after, I suppose, is the relationship or how we can know for sure, understand whether we're actually cooperating with the supersoul or whether we're trying to be uncooperative or reject his intuition, which we get within sometimes. I don't, off the top of my head, so to speak, I can't think of anywhere specific other than the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, which immediately comes to mind. Anyone else can think of some reference point or place we can go to pardon? Well, that's the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. That's there in the 13th chapter. But where else in scripture can we go to for more, let's say, deeper understanding or more clarification? Pardon? Chapter 15, Purushottam Yoga? Chapter 15.
I refuse what I do, the remembrance and forgetfulness.
Yeah, there are verses throughout the Bhagavad Gita, of course, where the Lord says, I am in everyone's heart as a super soul, and I am guiding everyone's wanderings, and I am the source of knowledge. And forget. I was thinking of a specific place where it deals with... I know in the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's also something is there about the super soul. I don't know how... I can't remember how deep it goes. Yeah, there are sections of the Brahma Samhita which deal with this Kala Chakra, this wheel of time and the relationship with the super soul and how everything's directed and going on there.
But also, I read it somewhere, I can't reference it. Sudarshan ends this reality as time.
Pardon?
Sudarshan.
Sudarshan.
He put into this manifestation as time for one another.
The wheel. Chakra wheel, yeah, Sudarshan. Yes, it's we may know a little bits and pieces here and there, but the main thing is to know how to follow. Yes, Peter.
Provide follow up instructions to my younger schoolmates in Canto 7. There's some verses there.
Yes, sir, everywhere. The points will come up everywhere, of course. Pure devotees reveal the will of the Lord. So when we hear from a pure devotee, we're actually hearing the will of the Super Soul. So when we read Prabhupada's words, we're hearing the will of the Super Soul. When we hear the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj or the words of any of the pure devotees who appear in the Bhagavatam, we're hearing the actual will of the Super Soul meant for us, to guide us, to attract us, to bring us out of this material world, and to bring us to the spiritual plane. Okay, we better finish there. Guntaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Gopremanandi Hari Hari Bol.